what God will do here. But I'm just going to preach to you what from the heart of what God give me. And I know it's to help you. And I love for him to just use me to help you today. If you got your Bibles, we'll turn to the book of Matthew. You want to stand for the reading of God's Word. Like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. Honor and a privilege. Matthew chapter number 11 is familiar verses, and I'm sorry for my voice here. I aspirated in my sleep here last Monday, and it blistered absolutely. It blistered my lungs and my throat so bad. I can't hardly even talk, but I'm 10 times, 100% better than what it was, Brother Jason. I tried to preach last Tuesday like this, and it's been miserable. I mean miserable, so I don't know why I don't be long. But Matthew chapter number 11. And this is familiar reading. The Bible says, verse number 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And there's a verse I want to try to preach out of. Verse 3 said, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4 says, and Jesus said unto them, go and show John again those things you do hear and you see. Let's ask God to help us today. Can you pray? Oh, God, we pray. I'll tell you, I've come with a burden on my heart, Brother Jason. I really want to help the church if I can. I mean, I know you probably heard this preach a thousand times, but I want to try to preach to you today on the perspective from my prison. You've got to help me on a perspective from my prison. You know, life has got a way of bringing us down. At times, it's got a way of handling us, teaching us things, showing us things in ways the Lord just leads us. And life itself, life gets rough on us, you know.
Right.
We begin to find ourselves in unfamiliar places, strange situations, feeling entrapped with just everyday living and the cares of this life. It becomes smothersome sometimes to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to preach about me here today. Let me put my fingers back this way. I'm going to preach to the choir up here. We feel entrapped a lot of times in life, and we feel like we're hopeless, and we start to smother in the situations that our life takes us in. And it's our perspective at times in those situations that teaches us and begins to show us things that Christ really wants us to learn. And we have to learn, as one man said, by the hard way. We learn through what life has dealt us, and the hand that life has dealt us is not always a good thing. It's not always a joyful thing. It's not always the best of times. We got our ups and downs, and we've got our highs and lows. And that's just living every day. But how many knows what Ephesians tells us? And in the 6th chapter, it tells us, well, we wrestle not just against everyday living, but the Bible said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this present world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. And the Bible tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand it in the evil day. And he says, having done all, he said, to stand. Amen. Right. I tell you what, sometimes in life it becomes hard to just stand.
Right.
Sometimes in life it becomes hard to just live. Sometimes in life it becomes hard to just figure out what we need to do every day. It becomes hard sometimes, Brother Jason, just to put one foot in front of the other. It becomes hard sometimes to figure out what our next step is, where we should go, what we should do. But many times in our life, it's not easy because we let doubt and we let unbelief creep into our lives. And we understand that we don't really understand nothing. Amen. We lose our dependability sometimes. We lose our dedication in our prayer and in our reading, all because it's just trying to live from day to day. I'm just going to preach slow today. I'm just preaching to you from my heart right here. Many of us have let this cell of life control what we do.
That's right.
Many of us have let this prison cell we call life at times dim the vision of Christ. Amen. Amen. We see the problem, how big it is, but we really don't see the vision of how big our God is. We can easily lose sight of Christ in our battles. And there's times we put ourselves in this position. There's times I put myself in places I can't blame nobody but Jamie Neese for. I put myself in places, Brother George, I can't blame nobody. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my family. I can't even blame the devil, because I was dumb enough to make choices in my life that put me in predicaments that nobody could get me out of but God. But that was my fault. Amen. That was my irresponsibility. But there's times in our life that we find ourselves in places, and we're put there because God chose to take us down that lonely road, because God chose to take us away in a different direction that we didn't choose. 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 4:12 said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you." He said, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers in Christ's sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." I'll tell you something today, if you're here in this house, you are not alone. Amen. That's exactly what the devil wants you to feel today, is depression, the spirit of oppression, the spirit of loneliness, the spirit of being by yourself. I come to tell you today, under the authority of God, by God, you are not alone in this house today. I don't care how loneliness may set in. I don't care how dark the night, how dim the situation may be. You are not by yourself.
Right.
Yes, God. There's no greater example.
No greater example.
In this Bible that I can read, and in this text that I just read here, of this man by the name of John the Baptist. This man we find here in the previous chapters. We read in chapter 3, we find Jesus as he begins to preach. Here as he come on the scene through Galilee, he begins to preach the word, and his ministry began. Chapter 3, we find him there at the baptism as he comes down to the river. Yeah. And this man by the name of John takes him down to the stream, and he baptizes him there in the river of Jordan. He talks, and the Bible says how John talks all about the Lord, and how he baptized him, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the great things that Christ would do, how he would come and go and save the lost, heal the sick. Then we find him over in chapter 4. We read of the temptations of Christ as the devil took him up on the mountain. He began to take him to different places, and we all know the stories, and tempt him. He tempted the man. Everything he was going through, that temptation, it fell back to the place in the life where Christ was as a man. He tempted him with hunger and food when he was hungry. Tempted him if he was tired. He tempted him with something else. Everything that the devil would tempt him with, it portrayed the life of Christ and where he was at that stage in his life. We read in chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible tells us of the ministry and the miracles of Christ, where he was at and how he came and what he had done. And we read all over here in chapter 10, as Christ begins to call his his people out. He begins to call the 12 disciples here. And he goes on and he makes his list of men. The men that was chosen for him through the discernment of God. He calls out these men to serve him, to be his army, to be his feet and his hands. And he calls these men one by one to come there. And then we go on over and we find out where I was at in chapter number 12. We get over to this place here. But first, don't you understand that the ministry of Christ, it began 1 year after this temptation started. Jesus, we can go all the way back to that fourth chapter in the verse 12 of that fourth chapter. That's where the Bible tells us that Jesus heard of this man John being in prison. Way back over here about 6 or 8 chapters ago, Christ knew where John was.
Right, yes.
And he continued on. He continued with his ministry like nothing was going on, like nothing was wrong, like he didn't even know where John was, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
He continued to do his work. He continued to do what the Lord had sent him to do. And you know, what I just don't understand for the life of me, I mean, if I look at it through this is my eyes and this is my flesh, but I could never understand growing up reading these scriptures, Brother Tommy, why in the world did he not go where John the Baptist was? Common sense would tell me if Christ would have saved any man in this Bible, if Christ would have moved for any man in this book, I believe it would have been John the Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at who he was. Not only did he not go to him, but he also took, we can read in 5 where he took some of John's own disciples for his very own use.
Yeah.
He took a bus, John. He took this man, he left this man in a dark dungeon.
Yeah.
And he came and he took his own men.
Yeah.
And he used it for his own glory, for his own way, and for his own use.
Yeah.
God, I'm telling you that. There is nobody can sit under the sound of my voice and say that they probably felt the hurt like John the Baptist felt hurt. Amen. I tell you, I couldn't imagine what that man was going through as he sat in that cell. Some people say a year and a half, but he sat there for over a year when this was took and this text was wrote, that John had sat in that cell for a solid year, over a year. John the Baptist sat in that cell as Christ just kept on doing his thing. He kept on going where he wanted to go, doing what he needed to do. My God, he sat with the sinners. He was there with the drunkards. My God, he saved them. They called him a wine bibber. They called him everything under the sun. And then here's this man of God that had done things right all his life, sitting in a prison cell. You imagine how many times a day he looked for that door to open. You imagine how many times a day he rubbed the blisters on his legs where the shackles and the chains no doubt had been, wondering where his God was, wondering where is the Lord. I preached about him. I told people about him. I've done what he told me to do. I stood when he told me to stand. I crawled when he told me to crawl. I gave when he told me to give. I've done what he told me to do. But I'm in a place now and he don't care where I'm at. He don't know where I'm at. He don't know where I'm living. He don't know I'm in this cell. I come to tell you today, you may have shackles on your feet. You may be sitting in your cell. You may be going through the darkest hour of your life. But I want you to know today, he knows where you're at.
Yes,
sir. You're right. I've been in some places in my life. If that camera went on, I'd tell you where I've been. I'll tell you, I wrestled some this morning when I told you that. I'd probably lose people over here when I tell my story. I'll tell you, I'm going to places. I'm going to some dark places.
Come on, Brother Jason.
Brother Jason.
Yeah.
I tell you, some dark times in my life.
Oh, God.
Come on, brother.
You tell my son that up before you.
Come on.
I tell you, some places I've been, I brought myself to. And then there's places that God brought me to. And in those times in my life, I had to learn that it's not my will, but thine, oh God.
Yes, God.
John the Baptist here, the Bible tells us this. He said he was not just another man.
Come on.
The Bible tells us he was a cousin of Jesus.
Yeah.
This man was filled from the womb with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
By God, the hand of God was on him. Jesus said this. Here's what Jesus said. This is not Jamie Nee's commentary. This is not Jason, Brother Jason commentary, Brother Tommy commentary. This is what the Lord said about John the Baptist himself. He tells us that he was more than a prophet, amen.
Right.
The Bible goes here and he tells us, he said, but what? He asked this question about John. He said, he told the people, the multitudes, concerning John. He said, what ye go out to see in the wilderness to see? He said, you come to see a reed shaken in a wind? He said, but what ye went out for to see? He said, it was a man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they wear soft clothing as the king's houses. He said, but when he went out for to see a prophet, he said, yea, I say unto thee, ye are more than a prophet. Amen. That is what he says about John. The Lord himself spoke these words. He said, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Amen. He said, verily, I say unto you, this is a Christ speaking of this man sitting in his cell. He said, I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater, none greater than John the Baptist. Amen. He said that this man, he put John up on a pedestal. He put him up on a place that others had never been. He said that this man was more than a prophet. He said he was more than a normal man. He was more than a human being. He had a call on his life. But yet he left this man in his cell for a year and a half with the shackles on his feet and a frown on his face. I tell you, there's times in our life, things that should make us happy, they turn into the destruction. They'll turn into disappointment. I tell you, we can go to church sometimes. We wonder, why me, Lord? Why am I here, Lord? John's life weighed in the balance as Christ himself went across this country doing what he was called to do. But I'll tell you something. We got to know the importance and what would never of this man that would never leave this cell.
Yes,
God.
In order to understand the significance of Christ, first, you got to understand the importance of the man that never leave his cell.
Yes, Lord.
My God, that man never made it out. John the Baptist later beheaded.
Right.
Never seen nothing he said come to pass. He said the jail cell. There he said. But I'll tell you what was happening to this man. You imagine the mentality of John the Baptist.
Come on.
And that takes us back to our verse. When you look at John, look at these men. No doubt. With a down face and with a bad face. And he looked at me and said, is he the one? Is he the one?
Come
on. He's the one.
Okay. Should I look for another? My God, is this the man I've told him about for years?
Come on.
Why in the world? I can hear him in my soul, Brother Scott. He said, why? Why? The doubt, the grief was on John's lips when he talked to these men. We see the most intricate part of John the Baptist. We see the flesh side of this mighty man of God when he asked that question, is he the one? Or should I look for another? But I'll tell you, in the midst of John's problem and in the midst of John's situation, there was two men that arose out of that. Some say it was Andrew, some say it was Apollos. But these two men were there with John, right there with him. Christ had already sent them there, and they said, tell him this is what's going on. They went to tell John these things. But John stared him in the face and said, I don't know if he's real. I don't know if that's him. I don't know if I should believe in it. And he sent these two men. I tell you, in a low part of your life, there's still people you could depend on to go to Christ for you.
Yes.
John the Baptist would have been in bad shape if these two men in his Bible right here that you don't hear nothing about hadn't had enough of God in them to say, I'll make my way and I'll go find it for you. There's going to be times in our life when we cannot get a hold of God for ourselves, when we cannot touch the throne of heaven for ourselves. But thank God, God's given us a church. God's given us pastors. God's given us evangelists, preachers, deacons, lay members that can get to Christ when we're still in our prison cell.
Woo!
Let's go. You want like a big name a long time.
That's right.
I'm trying to preach to you, but I'm trying to help them, but just got to pray for me, will you? I tell you, we want the big name sometimes, the people to pray us through. But there's times in our life when really it's the nobody. That nobody knows.
Nobody knows it.
It's that person.
That's God.
But you're all alone at night and you don't know who it is, but you know somebody got a prayer for you.
Nobody got a prayer for you.
Oh, here we go. My God, he'll be right here. There's times in our life we want the man of God to call us out. We want the Holy Ghost to speak to us. And he never comes by.
Never comes by.
And he never makes that scene in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
But there's somebody at night. You got an Apollos.
Somebody.
You got a John. Yeah. You got an Andrew. Those people that work behind the scene, they get on their knees. And they'll make their John never left the cell. But these two men had enough discipline. They had enough of God to go back to the Lord and tell him they're jumping what they've done to come back. And they told John the truth.
Yeah,
right.
My God, you can be down. I don't want nobody to come lying to me when I need to know what I need to do. The world, these soothsayers, and this stuff going that way, stuff is destroyed. Well, really, what God wants to work amongst his people.
Right.
Don't come tell me something unless you know God told you to tell me something.
Right.
Don't lie to me. Right. Don't try to encourage. Don't tell me something. Try to pick me up if I don't. You tell me what thus saith the Lord.
Yes, right.
You come to me, and I feel like you got men in this church, a pastor in this church, that will say what thus saith the Lord. My God, and you need to thank God for them. Because there's people all across this country that'll pat you on the back and send you on a road to hell. When you're in your lowest spot, but thank God for men and women of God that'll stand and say, thus saith the word of God. This is what you need to do, John. This is where you're at. This is what you need to do. You can make it out of yourself, but you gotta listen to what God's saying. I tell you, I need somebody to go for me. I feel like, brother, I can pray for you all day long. But there's times in my life that I can't get through the sin of road, Jamie. But thank God there's somebody that will raise my name in prayer. That's why we're here. That's why you're here today. Matthew tells us. He said, chapter 18, verse 19 again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree upon earth upon touching anything that he shall ask, it shall be done for him, one by my Father which is in heaven. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Right.
That's right.
Are you here today, John?
Praise.
Well, I can put my finger on you. I promise you, I really feel like today, but I feel like Brother Scott can put my finger on about two people I know.
Come on.
We got a John here today.
Come on.
I know John's in his house here today.
Come on.
And I don't say that lately. I lie to you. I don't say things like that. Yes. But Jason know me for years. I don't say stuff. I tell you, if I ever felt the hand of God here today, I tell you, that God knows you're in your cell, and he's sending help for you today.
Come on, brother.
Change your outlook on life when you live in a cell.
Yeah.
It'll change how you feel.
Yeah.
It'll bring bitterness, discouragement. Things that you once loved, you begin to hate. Things you loved, you, it turns you into a monster.
Glory.
Your peripheral vision becomes blurred.
Yeah.
Is your glass half empty today? Is your glass half full?
Come on.
I always tell my son, it can always be worse.
Yeah.
My God, I've seen bad times, but it can always be worse.
The
man with no feet never complained about his shoes. When he seen the man that complained about his shoes didn't complain anymore when he seen the man with no feet.
Right.
I tell you, it's times in our life. It will change us.
Yeah.
Read over in the book of John. We find Mary and we find Martha there. We can read of them. And you know, I'm talking about Lazarus earlier. Mary and Martha in the book of John. I fixed the clothes, short to cut. I want to push for an altar. I want to see God work here today.
Yes.
We read over the book of John, that 11th chapter. I find Mary and Martha there, and we read of where Lazarus had been dead for 4 days now. The Jews, they had hope for 3 days, Brother Tommy. They had hope for 3 days.
Right, yeah.
But it done been 4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
That 4th day really meant something.
Yeah.
That meant to the Jews, the hope was gone.
Hope is gone.
Hope is gone.
Yeah.
We find Mary and Martha in previous chapters. Mary's busy. She's the one that was there and said, Martha, can't you come help us cook?
Yes.
Martha's in there. She's breaking that alabaster box over the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Giving everything she had. Breaking the ointment over Jesus' feet. She wouldn't leave Christ. Martha wouldn't leave Christ.
Wouldn't leave.
To go help Mary. But in this chapter, we find Mary as they tell her, here comes Christ.
Yeah.
Here comes the Lord.
Yeah.
And know what the Bible tells us? Tells us that Martha went to meet Jesus. But Mary, the one who wouldn't leave Jesus, the Bible said, Mary stayed still in the house. Mary lost hope. Before she ran to Christ.
Yeah.
Before she was breaking the box on his feet, Brother Scott, she wouldn't leave you for nothing. Now here she is, she won't even go to where he's at. Because her brother's dead.
Yeah.
Because he left her, because she lost hope.
Yeah.
Because it's her 4th day.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, Mary came to a realization. She said, I can either sit in this house. She said, or I can make my way outside. And I can make my way out there with Martha. Go with what God said. They said, Jesus had means for you, Martha. She left the house and made her way with the Lord to her brother Lazarus on the 4th day when all hope was gone. Mary still found hope in the Lord. Oh, stand with me all over the house. Did you hear me today? Oh my God, hear me right here, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Your perspective from your prison will determine the rest of your life. Your perspective on how you look at your trials and your tribulations that you're going through will determine how you make it in this world here today. But I'll go back to my text and get ready to say, aren't you listening? If you overlook this world, it's easy to overlook, and I never even realized it. Caught my attention again, Brother Tommy.
Come on.
That 4th verse, when we read that, there's a key word in there. Jesus answered and said unto them, go.
Go.
And show John.
Yeah.
Again. Those things that you do and you hear. You understand what he said right there? He said, hey, you go tell John again.
Yeah.
How many times? Oh, no.
Come
how
on.
Many times am I so thankful? He showed me again. Hey, Mary, come on out today. I'll tell you, you know what God's saying. He's saying today, I'm here again. Hey, I'll work again. I'll move for you again. I'll move from your situation one more time. Come on, Mary, get out of the house. Get off the porch. I'll work for you. I know where you're at. Come on, Mary. Don't break the box again. Put the ointment on the feet of Christ again. He knows where you're at today, and he will bring you out. Yeah.
on that road that you must ride alone. And I know how that broken heart can make you feel. And when I felt that no one cared, that's when I feel the settle down. And his loving touch made me whole again. Thank you.